Tonight we're going to talk about hearing God. Probably one of the most important things in all of our life is that each one of us comes to a place to where we have a sense of faith that we can hear God in our difficulty. And you know how important that is in my heart. But it's real important that each one of us come to a place to where we believe that God can speak to us. And not only that we believe that God can speak to us, but we must come to a place to where we believe that we can hear God. That not only is God speaking to us, a lot of times we think, well, God is speaking, I'm not hearing. And that's the way it's been sometime in my life. But at the same point, God wants to build our faith to the place to where God is speaking to us and we're knowing that God's talking to us. Amen? So tonight I want to talk to you about that. I want to give you very quick. I'm going to give you 13 points. Do you believe I can do that, Alan? Terry, they're laughing because usually I get hung up on point number one all the time. And my series go for life. In fact, I was telling them earlier, or I've told y'all earlier, the longest series I've ever preached in a series of messages was 5 years, believe it or not. And I could never get rid of that. I mean, it was just there for 5 years long. But of course, if you've been pastoring for 43 years, like I have, 5 years doesn't seem like anything. So it just, but it's, the series are usually shorter than that. But this, I just want to talk to you tonight about the availability of hearing God in your life. Joe, are you with me up there? Okay. Every one of us has this cry in our heart over being able to hear God. Literally, whether we make it, whether we don't, whether we get through, whether we have a success or not a success, whether we're able to really be blessed or not, really depends on us able to hear God. Now, there are people that can hear God for us at times. But that's just every once in a while. There's been a few hard times. Hey, Charlotte. There's been a few hard times in my life where I didn't feel like I could hear God. But God mercifully would send somebody to me with a word from the Lord for my life. But I can't depend on that. God wants me to get my ears open to where I can hear God. Amen? And so, recognizing God's voice is such a vital, important thing. I want to look through some scriptures. Job chapter 33. It just tells us how important this is. It says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it." And how many times have I been there? God speaks again and again, though people don't recognize it. Next verse says, "He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds." Have y'all enjoyed the study that you've been doing on God speaking through dreams? Well, this scripture right here said God speaks through dreams. Now, pizzas speak through dreams too. And sometimes you can have a dream and it's caused by a pizza or something you had. But God speaks in dreams. And if we begin to release our faith, and really, I believe it's to be the point when you go to bed at night, and if you need answers from the Lord, it would be good to just stop and say, "God, would you give me a dream tonight and speak to my heart?" And it's amazing when you begin to study the Bible, how many people receive things in dreams. Solomon's wisdom came by way of a dream. I mean, God has given so many people in the Bible had marvelous results in their life and would come by way of dream. But that's one way to speak. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. Next verse says, "He whispers in their ears." Now, that's the way that we usually listen for the Lord. But not only does he whisper in an outward ear, which God can, but usually he's whispering in our inner ear. The Bible says, "You that have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying." And so he whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. What that means is God warns us of dangers and things coming by speaking to us. Then the next verse says, "He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction." When God knows we desperately need some wisdom and instruction to make it through a hard time in our life, then God says, "I can open your ear to where you can hear me." Right, then the next verse says, "He makes them turn from doing wrong." And literally, that's what God has spoken in my heart many times. I'd be heading down a wrong path, not realizing it being the wrong path. And God, by His Spirit, was speaking to my heart, or speak to me, and let me know that I was headed to. And sometimes we would even call that conviction. That's the voice of the Lord speaking to you. When you're going in a direction and the Holy Spirit begins to convict you and begin to draw you into another direction. Conviction is a powerful voice. He protects them. And this is what God's word does to us when he speaks to us. It's that he protects them from the grave and from crossing over the river of death. So the Lord blesses us. He gives us wisdom, this Bible says. And he's able to give us instruction as he speaks to our heart. And then this verse here says that God keeps us from premature death. That's a marvelous thing that God does. Amen? And I can really say that I've watched the Lord do this many, many times in my life. I mean, the enemy has had some real assaults planned for me during the last many years that I've lived. And literally, through God's word, I'm a dad of six kids, and you know that. And I don't see how a person could raise children without the voice of the Lord in their life. I can't tell you how many times that we had family gatherings planned, plans to do something, and the Spirit of God would just come and let us know through either a word to us or through a sensing in our spirit that was a road that we don't need to go down. Or that we need to veer from that. And how many times the Lord has said, and the times I would go against that, there's always been a price to pay. How many of you found that? That when you go against that inner conviction inside your heart, there's always a price to pay. Because God is trying to protect us. Now, Jeremiah 24:7, it says, I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. So God gives us hearts to recognize him. Our spirit, God gives us a spirit that's able to recognize the Lord speaking to us. And then John 8:47 said, hey, who belongs to God? Here's what God says. Literally, if I belong to God, then God gives me the ability to hear him. Amen. Now, John 10:27 is so good. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, if we're sheep of the Lord, then we've got to say, God, you was right. How many believe the Lord was telling the truth when he said that? That he was truthful when he said that. My sheep hear my voice. Now, what we found out a lot of times in our lives is that we fail to recognize God is speaking to us. And God's given us the ability. I believe God's speaking here. He's given us the ability to hear him. But so many times, because we are so untrained spiritually, and that's been the way it is in my life a lot, because I'm untrained spiritually, we forget that God wants our spirits to exercise just as our physical bodies. If you don't exercise somewhat in your physical body, there's going to be price to pay. And same way spiritually. Now, we don't do it the same way, but exercise has to take place. We have to exercise us, but we have to expand ourselves. We have to stretch ourselves spiritually. And as we do, then we grow. Amen? Okay, I want to talk to you. All right, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know. The first thing, if I'm going to hear God, I've got to learn that I've got to develop a quietness in my life. There must be that. Now, God will speak in the midst of the hustle and bustle. Now, he's done that many, many times. But on a regular basis, if God's going to speak into your life, you're going to have to prepare a time for him to do that. And you're going to have to settle. You're going to have a season in your life to quiet. Now, it can be in a commute. It can be in that time when you get up and spend that time with the Lord before you go to work. It can be. I've even heard people hearing God even on their lunch breaks, you know. But any time that you will quieten your spirit down, and that's hard for us to do. Man, it's hard for us to get the traffic to stop because the traffic is trying to continue all the time. But if we're going to hear God, we've got to let him know. It's important enough to me. The Bible says here, be still or quiet myself. I have to determine, God, I want to hear you. And usually the quieting that God's talking about is really the pressures of life. I mean, it's the pressures. I mean, even when we sit still, we're not quiet. Even when our mouths are quiet, still our minds are so loud. And the traffic that the enemy, through the things that he's trying to do against our life, can be so loud. People can be so loud. Problems can be so loud. Circumstances. And we're just going to have to determine if God's voice can change a situation, then I'm going to have to value his voice enough to where I'm going to give him some time in my life. I'm going to quieten my life. And I'm going to try my best. I'm going to put those fears and those agitations and those things out for this period of time. And I'm going to sit before God, or I'm going to hear God in some way. Amen? All right, praise God. So I want to talk to you. Hebrews chapter 5, 14 says, now this is talking about spiritual growth. I want to talk to you about it in the area of hearing God said, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Is that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Now this is talking about that I must allow myself to stretch myself if I'm going to grow spiritually. I mean, people tell me all the time, say, Jerry, I'm just uncomfortable with that. You will never grow unless you're willing to move into those uncomfortable areas. I mean, I can remember the first time. I mean, when I was saved and came to the Lord, and even when I was called in ministry, it was extremely hard for me to raise my hands in praise and worship. Extremely hard. Man, and I can remember it took a lot of movement. I mean, it took a lot. And I can remember how hard it was because I wanted to obey the Lord. Bible says, raise your hands to me. So I wanted to obey God. But I can remember how hard it was to begin to exercise that. Man, I felt like I was lifting up a 500-pound deadlift. You know, man, I just felt it was so hard. But I can remember when my hands finally got half mass, I call it. And I didn't feel like anybody would see it. So I would hide them. But see, we must be willing to exercise, to stretch ourselves spiritually, get into some uncomfortable places. You know, if I'll be honest with you, church a lot of times is very uncomfortable. It's still uncomfortable for me. I've been pastoring church for like 43 years. And during that process time, there's still at times that church is extremely uncomfortable for me. I'm basically a very shy person. But you know what? God always presses me. God always puts me in places that are a lot of times people won't attend church because they feel that they can't. They're uncomfortable. But God always puts us in those places, whether it's on our job, or whether it's in a relationship, or whether it's in dealing as a parent with children. God always puts you in those places to stretch you. I mean, God is still, believe it or not, He is still asking us to walk on water. I mean, He'll do that on your job to make you a success there, whatever it is. God will challenge you to get out of that boat of comfort and to step on that water and trust Him. And to trust Him. To trust Him. In fact, that's what the basic Christian life is all about, isn't it? It's trusting God. And God began to direct my heart toward a direction. And me willing to trust Him enough. To trust Him. Well, I can remember before I was saved. I can't think back that far. It's hard at times. But I can remember when the Lord began to draw me to Him. Now, some people think that salvation is an experience where that you just usually just walk front and shake a preacher's hand and you're automatically drafted in to the Lord's army. But it's usually a process. Most of us all come to the Lord through a process. It's God calling us into Him. And then our willingness to move beyond the comfort zone and to move toward Him. If you're comfortable in your life, I dare say God's probably, you're right on the verge of a real challenge. Because God wants each one of us to use our faith. And the way the Lord does that, He presses us to move further in areas, challenges us. And really, we become to a place to where that we're either going to say, yes, God, I trust You. I will, or I'm going to rebel against God. Now, I've been on both ends of those. And let me tell you, obedience is a lot better. Obedience may bring a lot of discomfort in. But see, God challenges our life. Because God knows what it will take. See, God built us in the very beginning. So the Lord created us for divine purposes and divine plans. And in that process of that divine purpose and that divine plan, God has to bring us into that for us ever to feel fulfilled. I mean, it's so sad. Some people, Some people go to their high school years and go into college, graduate college, and then after their second profession years later, they still say, "I'm just so unhappy." Because see, we were all, every one of us were created for divine purposes, divine plans. Now, we were all given gifts and talents inside of us to achieve those. But we can either selfishly use those for ourselves, and it will never be stretched. We'll always stay in that little comfort zone. Or we can begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and allow God to pull us in to those areas. I mean, you take a church that black and white and Spanish can all go together. Look around, and we can see God is challenging us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, in the South, a few years ago, that was totally unheard of. And Charlotte, it was really, years ago, it was so uncomfortable. I mean, it was, the Lord sees us all beautiful. But years ago, when the Lord put it in our heart, He challenged us to become a church that would minister into every part of society. Well, when the Lord put us in the heart, put that in our heart, and we began moving toward that, God knows how to challenge us. We went from a church that was totally white to a church that was 60% black and 40% white. And the Lord, it was so good. I just loved God. I loved it all the time. But we would literally have churches that would ask us not to associate with them. And when my best buddy is Donald McCray, and that brother has prayed me out of more jams, more situations, and more circumstances. And I just thought, what would my life have been if I would have not allowed the Lord to challenge our heart and to create a church that would be for all cultures? Well, one thing, I knew that Don and I wouldn't be best friends. And therefore, most of those jams I would have sunk. See? Because I don't have any white buddies that would love me that much to pray as much as Donald McCray does for me. But when I get into a problem, I mean, just like this week. I mean, we always face those challenges. And just like this week, 2:00 in the morning, I get a call. Nicole, you know what that was. 2:00 in the morning, got a call. And it's what I said. Said the school is destroyed. Now, it's a school that we've been operating for like 30 years, and it's larger now than it's possibly ever been, and doing so well. And said, the school is destroyed. It said the sprinkler system came on inside the whole school. And they said that it had destroyed the materials, everything. I mean, it said the water was running everywhere. And I tell you what, I like to freak out. My wife always, she tells me, she can always tell when I get out of faith, I always freak out. That's what she calls it. So she could tell immediately that I was freaking out. So I just got, but Donnie, I said, I just got to get there. So I left out. Now, Elaine and Terry, she and Karen, she speaks here a whole lot more than I do. And she's a powerful young lady. She's not young anymore. She just looks young. But she just married an old Keiser here. But she's a powerful lady of faith. I tell you, it takes me a while. Usually I'm hit with a crisis. And after I get up off the floor 30 minutes later, then I began to move in faith, you know. Elaine, not so. From the moment it cuts, she's there. And so Elaine feels like the Lord had really given her a word, and I did too, for this next year. Said God wanted to change things in our life this next year. But it's going to be, of course, the two things. And our ability to, number one, is to be able to say, that's a lie. Whatever the devil offers you, you got to say, that's a lie. Because things are not as they seem. You understand? The Bible says, for we don't look at the things that are seen, for they are temporal, but we look at the things that are not seen, for they are eternal. And so do two things, that when you're approached by with something that would feel to be disastrous to you, you begin to declare, that's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Jesus said that Satan is a liar from the very beginning. In fact, he said he's a murderer and a liar. The word murderer there that is used when Jesus spoke that is the word manslayer. His whole life is built on destroying our lives. That's what Satan's for, is to destroy us. But Jesus' life is to save us and to take care of us. Can you say amen? So immediately there, when I had that crisis, I got up and I went. And Lane began to say, it's a lie. Second thing is, you got to say, you got to declare God's power over it. It's one thing to resist the devil, but it's another thing to submit to God. The Bible says it takes both. It takes resisting the devil and submitting to God. So she began, in her faith, she began to just pray there. And she began to say, you know, this is a lie. The school's not destroyed. It's not, this is not the end of it. Because we've been, some of you don't know, we've been working there for, the storm got it last year. We just got it back in operating. And then say, to release it to God and say, Lord, I believe you can turn this for good. I can believe you make good out of this. How many believe God can take whatever the enemy's done in your life and God can turn that thing for good? God can turn that thing for good. And so she began to say that. Well, about halfway to Camden, you that know where I live in the country. And about halfway, you know where I live. Thank you. And about halfway there, I finally got up off the floor. And I finally began to get into faith. And so I began to trust the Lord. And I've never been anything like. We've been through so many things in the last many years with the different building projects and all the things that we've been involved with. But it was so neat. I drove up there, and there were five fire trucks there. They call like three fire departments in there, and truly there was water flowing everywhere. But I walked in that school. I never seen anything like it. And there was 12 firemen or so in that school. Every one of them had big old brooms, and they was trying their best to get every bit of that water out for us. And they would not leave that place until we were convinced that we could handle it. I said, hey, you guys don't get paid for this. They said, yeah, we're here to help you, Pastor. And they stayed in that building until it was almost completely out. I've never seen anything like that. And so truly, and then the information I got was wrong anyway. It wasn't Sprinklerson, it was Sprinklerson, but it came from the bottom. And so it was, so anyway, the school was out one day, now back into service and rolling full time. And I'm so thankful to be married with a lady of faith. Because if not, we would probably have another disaster. But because that we can believe God, can you say amen? All right, so you have to be willing to allow the Lord to stretch you. All right, God wants to speak to us through His Word. First way God wants to talk to us. We've got just a few minutes left, so God wants to talk to us through His Word. But it's got to be His Word with us. Somebody hold up your Bible, would you? I usually, if I was preaching, I would have one, but let me borrow that just a moment. It's vitally important to know that this is the Word of God. But let me tell you the truth. This is the Word of God to the whole world. And when I'm going through a situation, I need the Word of God to me. And the problem with it, a lot of times, is this. My answer will be found over Matthew chapter 14, and I'm reading in Genesis 19. Do you understand? So God wants to speak to me, but God wants to speak to me by His Word. The first way God wants to talk to me is through His Word. But how do you know it's God speaking to you out of a particular scripture? How can you tell it's God? Because if you're going through any situation, you can find many extremes of that in this Bible. For example, you're faced with water. Does God want to roll it back so you can walk through on dry ground? Or does God want you to walk on it? Or does God want you to speak to that storm that it ceases? I mean, there's so many different ways of dealing with the same thing. And God wants me to know His way. Because it's vitally important, because it was very important that Moses recognize that when he faced that water situation, that God wanted to roll that water back. I mean, dare say, if Moses would have stepped on that water, he would have sank. You understand? Because not only is it important to have God's word to the world, and those are all wonderful examples of God's truth speaking to us, but we've got to hear directly from the Lord. How do you know if God's speaking to you in a certain scripture, if it's the Lord speaking that word to you, or if it's just knowledge of God's word coming into you? Well, the two words, you know, they're the word logos. The Bible written, the Bible as a whole, is a Greek word we term the word logos, meaning God's word to the world. But when God speaks to you, He uses a totally another word. It's the word rhema. What it means is, it's God's voice is speaking His scripture to you. Now, you can know whether God's using that scripture in your life or not. And the way you know that, because it's mixed with faith. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, or the word of God. What it says is this, faith comes by hearing. And that word hearing is the word rhema. When God is speaking something to me, there's faith associated with it. You can't have God speak to you and there not be faith with it. And it's whether you're just reading something dry or whether you continue reading until God speaks something to your heart. But when God speaks something to your heart, faith comes immediately. That's why I may be reading in Psalms 37. And I can be reading down through there trying to find my answer for a dilemma that I'm going through. Well, God may read verse 1. I may read verse 2. I may read in verse 3. And even though I can find and I can figure out ways that it would relate to me, I'm looking for God's breath to speak that word to me. And the way you know it becomes God's voice is faith comes. And all of a sudden, that particular scripture will begin to just light up to you, and you will have faith that moment to believe that God's speaking to you. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when God speaks that scripture to you, then faith will immediately jump out with you. That's why I don't understand. Some people say, well, you know, I just can't get anything out of the Bible. How do you possibly not get anything out of the Bible? Because God's not speaking every scripture to you every moment. There are situations where God will speak the verse. But God is speaking. There are those scriptures that's relating to your individual situation there. And it's God depends on us to seek Him. And continue staying in His Word until the Word speaks to us. And the moment that word, that scripture speaks to us, I have faith to believe I have God's word on my situation. So if I'm Moses standing at the water, I'd say, let me take this staff and that water is fixing to roll back. If I'm Peter on the boat facing water, I'm going to take a step out of that boat and step on that water in direction to the Lord. Do you understand? Different situations, but the way you know that God is speaking that scripture to you, faith comes immediately. Amen? And the Bible says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove why is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This scripture just literally says that if I'm going to know God's will in my life, I'm going to have to allow God's word to transform my thinking. See, because a lot of times God expects us to stretch ourselves to become aware of His Word. Because today God may not be speaking Genesis 17, 14 to my life. But God wants me aware of Genesis 17, 14. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will begin to bring Scripture. If I'm diligent to put Scripture in my life, then the Scripture that I need for that particular moment or that particular situation, the Holy Spirit will bring that. The Bible says what Jesus taught. It will bring that to my remembrance. But if I don't put nothing in there, if I'm not diligent in God's Word, if I don't stay continually seeking God or reading God's Word and putting it in there, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to bring up to my remembrance. So God has would have a hard time talking to me. Now, so we, as that's why, as we grow in the Lord and mature, the more we read, the more we study. I mean, you know, I would want to think that I'm more mature now than I was 43 years ago. I would hope to think that more to my life has happened than my hair got gray and it got thinner. I would hope to think more alive. I would hope to think that during these past years and whatever it past time is, wherever God's been drawing you, calling you closer to Him, maybe you've really sensed that. Maybe you say, Jerry, I've just now, lately, been giving my heart strongly into the Lord. Well, you continue that pursuit. And God will, as you continue that pursuit to the Lord, then God will prepare you and transform your mind to where the Holy Spirit will have scripture to where He will be able to speak into your life and bring it into your life. Amen? All right, now let me close all the way here if I can. Joe, can you go over to the very last point? Let me close with that one. There's so many wonderful ways that God speaks to us, and we'll try to. The 11th way is God speaks to us through inner peace. And now there's so many wonderful ways. I want to talk to you about God speaking to you in dreams. I want to talk to you about God speaking to you in visions. I want to talk to you how God can speak to you through His quiet voice. I want to talk to you how God can speak to you through His witness. I want to talk to you how God can speak to you through His leading, not so much with words, but leading. All of these are wonderful ways that God speaks to us. But I want to close with this one right here, because this is when I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to talk to you. It's the easiest way to hear God. A lot of times we just associate hearing God with words, vocabulary words. I want you to know God's voice is so much bigger than that. In heavens, it sounds like the voice of many waters. I mean, God is so varied in the way that He can speak into our lives. But one of the greatest ways and the easiest way that God speaks to us is that God speaks through us with an inner assurance and a security. And a lot of times we're sitting there waiting and we're straining to hear words when God has have us sense something that's just as strong as any word you could ever speak. There's the sense of security that comes from simply, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." And I would zero in on that, "for I know." There's things that God has given you the ability to know. David used this over and over all through the book of Psalms when he said, "I know the Lord will deliver me. I know God will win this battle. I know God will bring me through this." Now, that's more than a head knowledge. That's where that you have your senses so trained to discern right and wrong, or discern what's God and what's not God. But this is probably the easiest way and the most common way that God tries to speak to all of our lives. In fact, in a moment's time, I could stop and say, "God, can I trust you?" When I said that, I'm saying that to you, but immediately in my heart, I sensed a security. And that sensing is as strong as any word could ever be spoken to me. That's why over and over, Paul, Jesus, David, Abraham, Moses, all the great men, they had this sense of knowing. They know, they would say, "I know God is going to take care of this. I know God is going to deliver His children." And that sense of knowing is something that we, as believers, we need to stop and recognize and to acknowledge with God as Him, "Lord, this is your witness. This is your voice speaking to me now. I acknowledge it." Because if I will give acknowledgement to it, that will give opportunity for my faith to believe God. If I'm just going to chalk it up to this or that, if I don't stop and acknowledge it. So let's close with that prayer right now. Joe, if you would, I'm just going to close by just asking God a couple of questions. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, in your heart, if you would, bear with me just for a few moments. Let's just stretch ourselves just for a moment in the last 3 minutes here. And let's see that sense of security that God can bring into our life. Is anyone here tonight that you're going through an issue, a circumstance right now? Family, health? Is there any other? Just nod at me if there is. If you're going through a certain situation, almost all of us are. Enemy, make sure of that. But I'm going to tell you what. God makes sure that we have a Savior and we have a Deliverer for us. We're going to just take a moment and I want you to just ask the Lord a couple of little simple things. Because the most common way God wants you to hear Him is with that sense of security, that sense of knowing that down through history, men have stood on that sense of knowing. And they have been able to turn tides, see battles won, victories wrought, families saved. They saw disasters turn to miracles, situations completely turned around. Because they recognized that sense of knowing as being the sense of trusting. If you're going through a situation, I want you to just ask the Lord. Let's ask Him something real simple. Would you just whisper in your heart and would you say, Lord, do you love me? Why don't you whisper that to the Lord? Lord, do you love me? For 43 years, I've asked the Lord that sometimes high as 20 or 30 times a day because I just love to hear Him answer. I just love to hear His sense of knowing. So let's ask the Lord something else. Let's just say, Lord, can I trust You to take care of me? Can I trust You, Lord, to take care of me? Trust You to take care of this, whatever this is, whatever issue, whatever battle. Can I trust You, Jesus? Yeshua, can I trust You, Lord, to take care of this? Souls rode with Him on that ship. The storm had torn it completely to pieces. And He stood in the last remaining fragments of that ship and He says, I know. I know. And because of that sense of that faith and that trust that He had, all 260 were saved. God delivered all of those that were with Him. because one man had the sense, had the voice of the Lord, the sense of knowing. So the next time you're tempted to say that I can't hear God, just slap yourself and say, I know He'll take care of me. Every time you have that sense of knowing and that sense of faith inside you, you have just heard probably the simplest, most common way that God talks to us. Now, the Lord gets complicated at times, and He will speak to our heart, and He will speak words, and He will tell us things, and He will show us things that we had no idea of. But you would never, ever, ever get anything any stronger than the sense of knowing. That's why Paul said, I know who I have believed. The King James Version says, I know who I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. Paul said, I know. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the family says. It doesn't matter what the circumstances says. It doesn't matter. Because I know. God's given me the knowing that God's going to take care of me. So Lord, we just thank You. Lord, ask You to take care of Your people, Lord, as they continue on their week. Lord, ask You to give them success. Lord, to give them success in their families. Lord, cause this to be a good week. Lord, cause the harassment of the devil to stop, and that so many times it comes out in family relationships. And Lord, cause Your peace to come. And Lord, I ask You to take situations that the devil has tried to plan and turn them around and make them good in all of my precious people's lives that are gathered here tonight, Lord. Give them a good week. Lord, give them a good success. Give them a good success. So Lord, right now tonight, we pray over Janet's daughter. And Lord, we ask You that You would take care of her. We ask You to be with her. Lord, heal her body, we ask in Jesus' name. I cannot tell you, you go ahead, Joe, and take it down. I cannot tell you how much that sense of knowing. For 43 years, I've stood by people's beds that they said they didn't have a hope and didn't have a chance. I stood in circumstances where family said there's no love left, all is gone. I've seen mothers and dads over kids that felt there was no way out for my kid anymore. But in the midst of that prayer, there would be that sense of knowing that God would let us know it's going to be all right. I can handle this. And I've watched that sense of knowing literally change families, turn from death to victory. Turn circumstances completely around. Don't allow the enemy to paint the picture of your life. You get that sense of knowing and say, this is the strongest thing I can hold to. And God will do it for you. You're dismissed. God bless you.